From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, on this December 10th, 2013. So glad you could tune in today. On today's Current Sports, we invite MSU head volleyball coach Kathy George to join me and talk about the Spartans advancing to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tourney. This is the team's second straight trip to the tourney, the Sweet 16, I should say. They defeated Kentucky on Sunday afternoon, now getting ready for Penn State on Friday at 5 p.m. Don't want to miss that game. And you also know that we're going to be talking about the Rose Bowl excitement, folks. That's what everybody is talking about. That's the buzz around Mid-Michigan. On today's Top 5 Tuesday, we are paying homage to the MSU head football coach, Mark D'Antonio. We want you all to call in and give us your favorite Mark D'Antonio memory, or we're sharing Mark D'Antonio memories, I should say, paying homage to Coach D and the MSU football team. Again, they will be in Pasadena, California. Man, I can hear the beach and the nice weather, birds chirping. I can see it now. I mean, unbelievable stuff. Heading to the Rose Bowl, of course, on New Year's Day, where they take on Stanford. But yeah, call in and give us, a Mark D'Antonio memory. He's been here 7 seasons now, and now, you know, the culmination, well, I shouldn't say the culmination, the peak now of definitely of his career has to be this Rose Bowl appearance. It's what he's been working toward the entire time he's been here at Michigan State, and now they finally go to the Rose Bowl, again, taking on Stanford. Call in and share your thoughts on Coach D. You know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone, folks. And don't forget that you can be a part of the hands-on discussion here at Current Sports by following me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR and by liking us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Current Sports. And don't forget about Current Sports TV. We tape a new episode tomorrow night. You can be in the live TV studio audience this week when my guest on Current Sports is former MSU football player Otis Wiley. Yes, Wiley played high school ball in Flint and was a star safety for the Michigan State football team from 2005 to 2008. Today, he's a sideline reporter for WJR and Spartan Sports Network and a development fundraiser for Michigan State. Now, recording takes place again 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night at WKAR-TV Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free, but reservations are strongly recommended because, hey, seating is limited. That's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, and guest Otis Wiley. Again, recording takes place 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night. We'll have a lot of Rose Bowl coverage, a lot of footage shot from our trip to Indy this past weekend. And if you want to go check out the locker room celebration and my post-game report, talking with D'Antonio and whatnot, we also talked to some fans, you can go to WKAR.org right now. Again, that's WKAR.org to look and view at Current Sports' coverage of the Big Ten Championship game. It's MSU topped Ohio State. It's very, very cool footage. You get to see, the celebration on the field afterwards. You get to see what took place in the locker room. You get to hear from guys like Curtis Drummond to Tony Lippitt, Benny Fowler. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, it was a great time out there, but you can view that and, get some pretty cool fan reactions just by going to WKAR.org. All right, well, let's dive into the show. Here are your Current Sports headliners for this December 10th, 2013. All right, the Tigers and right-handed outfielder Rajay Davis have agreed to a a 2-year contract worth around $9 or $10 million. That's coming from Fox Sports' John Morosi and citing the source. Now, Davis is 33 years old. He hit just 260 with 6 home runs and 24 RBIs in 108 games with the Toronto Blue Jays last year, but also recorded 45 stolen bases and 49 runs. Now, the Tigers' recruitment of Davis, a veteran speedster, to play left field at least part-time with Andy Dirks illustrates several points. A lot of points there, folks. Now, even for Tigers owner Mike Ilitch, there's a payroll limit here. GM Dave Dombrowski publicly stated last last week the Tigers wouldn't pursue any more high-priced free agents this offseason. That ruled out Sin Cho Chu as an option for left field. Davis is reported to have agreed again. Two-year deal worth around $10 million. Cho's price tag is widely believed to be well above $100 million. My goodness. It was Davis's fourth season of at least 40 stolen bases last year. The Tigers haven't had anyone steal as many as 30 bases in a season since Alex Sanchez did in 2003. Now, Davis would join a Tigers outfield that features center fielder Austin Jackson, veteran right fielder Torrey Hunter. Andy Dierks was Detroit's primary left fielder last season, batting .256 with 9 home runs. Now, Detroit already added some speed to the lineup this offseason with the acquisition of second baseman, if you remember, Ian Kinsler, who was traded to the Tigers in a blockbuster deal that sent Prince Fielder to the Texas Rangers. So there you have it. Looks as though Rajay Davis, he is the newest Detroit Tiger. All right, one quarter of the group for finalists for the Eddie Robinson Award for National Coach of the Year will be on the Rose Bowl sidelines. That's right, Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio and Stanford's David Shaw were among the 8 announced today. Now, the award name for the late legendary Grambling coach is voted on by the Football Writers Association of America. The other finalists are Art Brills of Baylor, David Cutcliffe of Duke, Jimbo Fisher of Florida State, Gus Malzahn of Auburn, George O'Leary of Central Florida, and Gary Pinkle of Missouri. Now, the winner will be announced in 1 week. Last week, D'Antonio was named Big Ten Coach of the Year, if you remember, for the second time in 4 years before leading MSU to a 34-24 win, of course, over Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship game out in Indy. He'll lead the number 4 Michigan State Spartans against number 5 Stanford in the Rose Bowl January 1st, folks, in Pasadena, California. And, of course, current sports will be out there, yes, giving you coverage of all of the Rose Bowl action. You just go to WKAR.org. We'll also have an old current sports TV for you. You do not want to miss any of that. It's going to be one historic day. All right, and D'Antonio is also getting a pay raise, folks. No surprise here. More money is coming for Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio and his assistant coaches. MSU AD Mark Hollis would not give specifics or a timetable, but he confirmed that he will increase D'Antonio's pay and provide more money to be distributed among MSU's assistants. Now, more performance-based incentives may be included moving forward, Hollis said. Now, D'Antonio makes about $1.96 million annually, which ranks 9th among Big Ten coaches, according to a recent USA Today report. Now, he was just named Big Ten Coach of the Year and had 3 11-win seasons in the past 4, entering Saturday's late Big Ten Championship game against OSU. Hollis said he wants to make sure D'Antonio and his coaches are compensated at, quote, appropriate levels, end quote, and that on-field performance isn't the only reason to reward them. This is from Hollis. This is what he told the Free Press before the title game. Quote, Coach D and our football staff have done a great job on the field and off. While individuals may make poor choices at times, D'Antonio has developed a program that I'm proud of on Saturday and, as important, on the other 6 days of the week. So there you have it. That's a direct quote from Mark Hollis, athletic director Mark Hollis, on Mark D'Antonio. So no surprise there, Coach D getting a well-deserved raise. All right, the gift suite seems to be the new big thing for bowl games. They provide up to $550 worth of gifts to participating college football players. Of course, every time around this year, you see college football players who have made a BCS, you know, flaunting a new watch or the new hottest electronic device, and, you know, no different this year. Michigan State and Stanford players will earn the gift suite plus a Fossil watch, New Era 5950 cap, and OGO backpack from the Rose Bowl. Michigan and Kansas State players will also get a gift suite. They will get a Fossil watch, the OGIQ backpack. Of course, Michigan, they're going to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, the same bowl that Michigan State played in last season. Now, this is directly from the NCAA. Quote, the NCAA allows each bowl to award up to $550 worth of gifts to 125 participants per school. Schools can and usually do buy additional packages that they can distribute to participants beyond the 125 limit. In addition, participants can receive awards worth up to $400 from the school and up to $400 from the conference for postseason play, covering both conference title games and any bowl game. Now, of the 35 bowl games, 18 are providing gift suites for shopping trips to players. Other notable gifts that'll be handed out are the Military Bowl. They're handing out PlayStation 4 video game systems to Maryland and Marshall players. I want that. Come on. Can the media get something for coming to the Rose Bowl? That's good stuff. All right. The Russell Athletic Bowl is handing out a $450 Best Buy gift card to Miami and Louisville players. The Texas Bowl is handing out Samsung Galaxy Tab 3s to Minnesota and Syracuse players. And the Alamo Bowl is handing out iPad minis with Retina display. Got to have Retina display on them. To Oregon and Texas Tech players. My goodness, that sounds really, really nice. Hope the media gets something going to the Rose Bowl. That'd be pretty cool. All right, Heisman Trophy finalists. Four quarterbacks and two running backs were named Heisman Trophy finalists on Monday. Quarterbacks Jordan Lynch of Northern Illinois, Johnny Manziel of Texas A&M, A.J. McCarron of Alabama, and Jameis Winston of Florida State were all invited to the Heisman ceremony on Saturday at 8 p.m. Of course, can't forget that. Auburn's Trey Mason and Boston College's Andre Williams are the running backs. Winston is the overwhelming favorite to win the award Saturday night in New York, now that the sexual assault complaint against him in Tallahassee, Florida has been closed without charges being filed. He could become the second straight freshman to win the award as the top player in college football after, of course, Johnny Football won it last season. Now, Winston set freshman records by passing for 3,820 yards and 38 touchdowns, impressive numbers, while leading number one Florida State into the national championship game. The Alabama native is on pace to break the NCAA record for passer efficiency rating, which he currently has a 190.1 rating. Unbelievable stuff. Winston definitely the favorite there. All right, high school basketball roundup last night. High school boys basketball, they tip off tonight, actually, with several local matchups on slate. In the game that was named MLive's Game of the Week, Holt visits Lansing-Waverly. Granville travels to Grand Ledge. Lansing Catholic visits Okemos. And finally, current sports guest Steve Finnemore's East Lansing Trojan squad, they host DeWitt tonight. Eden Rapids travels to St. John's. Hazlitt goes to Mason. And Charlotte makes the trip to Lakewood. So certainly the balls are bouncing here in mid-Michigan. Can't wait to get out to a few of those games. I'll probably go to that East Lansing game. All right, on a night when Iron Mike Ditka was honored at halftime, it was the Bears offense that stole the show. Josh McCown threw for 348 yards, four TDs, and ran for another to lead the Bears to a big 45-28 rout of the Dallas Cowboys. Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, they combined for 11 catches, 184 yards, and a TD as the Bears built a 35-14 third quarter lead. Just putting it on my Cowboys. Ditka, whose number 89 was retired at halftime, gave an impassioned speech to a freezing Soldier Field crowd, thanking the fans and organization for all that they've done for him. Ditka won an NFL championship as a player in 1963 and a Super Bowl in 1985 as the head coach. Quote, "It's been a heck of a run, guys, but I'll tell you one thing I've learned. This is a great city, and these are the best fans in the world." Ditka ended his speech with several thank yous and a big "Go Bears" to the roaring crowd. So congratulations to Mike Ditka and the Bears getting a just complete blowout win over the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys looked terrible last night. That's another subject. All right, Jason Kidd, the drama in Brooklyn continues as Jason Kidd's first year as head coach spirals a bit out of control. After being fined for spilling a drink to get an extra timeout, reports out of Brooklyn say the reassignment of head assistant Lawrence Frank and former Detroit Pistons coach stemmed from a profanity-filled tirade on November 3rd. This is a direct quote from what was supposedly said to Lawrence Frank coming from Kidd's mouth. Quote, "Sit the blank down. I'm the coach of this," and then you know that 13-letter word, "team. When you're on the bench, don't blanking move. Kids said you can piece together what those words were. Now, Frank was hired to help Kid transition into coaching, but their relationship seems to have gone down the drains early in the season. The apparent power struggle seems to even baffle the players. This is from Paul Pierce. Quote, "That's something for the coaching staff, I think. He worked hard. He did the things that they asked him to do that I thought were on the court. But obviously some behind-the-scenes things that probably went down and didn't go well with the coaches, and that's why the decision was made." That's directly from Paul Pierce. Just a complete debacle right now out in Brooklyn, and they're really struggling. The worst team in the Eastern Conference right now. All right, the top NFL draft prospect, Jadeveon Clowney. He can't get to the pros fast enough, okay? But he can sure drive fast enough. Clowney was ticketed for driving 110 miles per hour in a 70 miles per hour zone this Saturday. That's according to South Carolina Highway Patrol. Clowney was allowed to drive away, though the ticket carries a hefty $355 fine and 6 points, which are half of the points needed to suspend a driver's license. Clowney and head coach Steve Spurrier were not available for comment and possible discipline for South Carolina's Capital One Bowl matchup versus Wisconsin. So there you have it. Jadeveon Clowney, you got to slow down, my brother. Slow down, man. Those are your current sports headliners on this December 10th, 2013. If you want to call in and comment on any of those, give us a call right now, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And today's Top 5 Tuesday plays homage to MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio. We have to tip our hat to the man who has led the Spartans to their first Rose Bowl appearance since 1988. We want you to call in and share a memory of Coach D and his 7 years here at MSU. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. In the meantime, we invite another MSU coach who is also making headlines left and right. The MSU women's volleyball team defeated number 17 Kentucky on Sunday afternoon, advancing to the Sweet 16. Oh, how sweet it is. The Spartans now move on to play Penn State this Friday. MSU is in the NCAA tourney field for the third consecutive season, making its second straight Sweet 16 appearance. Overall, this will be MSU's sixth trip to the Sweet 16 in program history and third in the tenure of head coach Kathy George, and that's who joins me on today's show. Kathy, welcome to Current Sports once again.
Hey there, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just getting ready to get on the road again.
I'm sure. This is such an exciting time for MSU sports. Of course, your team is really tearing it up. I want to talk about that Kentucky game this past weekend. Now, you guys topped them 3-1 on Sunday afternoon. What was the difference maker in that game, Kathy?
You know, I think that we came out very strong and got all over them. And then in game two, they settled it down and they started. Whitney Billings was starting to play great volleyball and kind of took us back a little bit. We gave up that second game, but then from game three on, we just took control. Our team, you know, had a lot of maturity and poise in game three and four, and just kind of did what they needed to do and followed the game plan.
Yes, that is certainly true. Now, four Spartans finished with double-double kills, Kathy. What makes your team so dangerous?
Well, you know, that's part of what we like to do is spread the ball around and have the balance. And we know that we're a better team when we're able to get a lot of offensive weapons going at one time. So, you know, everybody obviously sees Lauren Wazinski, and she is one of the top point scorers in the nation. But when we get our balance going, it really does hurt teams.
Yeah, now with Lauren, she is also named as a finalist for the Senior Class Award. Kathy, what is that award about?
Well, it's about, you know, just being a great citizen and student and an athlete. And, you know, obviously you have to be able to support all those areas, and they do in the nomination process and such. And then people go on and they vote for people, and then they go with that as at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I got to ask you, Kathy, because Lauren, I mean, she's had one incredible season now, the all-time MSU kills leader. I mean, she's such a special player. What do you think, in your eyes, from a coaching perspective, what makes Lauren so special, Kathy?
Well, I think a lot of players, they tend to pull back on their abilities, and you know, Lauren just doesn't do that. She just goes for it. She wants to win, and she's very, very aggressive, even after making errors. And you know, there's players out there. In general, it's just like when you're a shooter in basketball. If you've missed that shot, you know, do you go as aggressive the second time, or do you take that look unless it's you're really set? I mean, she'll take it all the time. So,
right.
I think it's just that willingness to. Take the risks.
Yeah, definitely. And now, you know, this is your guys' second straight season that you all have made it to the Sweet 16. I got to ask you now, Kathy, this being the second time that you guys have made it to, you know, second year in a row, I should say, making it to this level. I mean, you guys have to have a kind of never not satisfied attitude with just getting to this point, right?
Well, it's kind of funny. The captains just left my office and they were talking about, it was pretty cool after we beat Kentucky, how, you know, we celebrated, but it was more of what we expected, and we wanted to move on to the next round, and people were already talking about what we wanted to do next.
Right.
So that was a different feel from when we beat UCLA at UCLA last year. You know, we were thrilled. Obviously, they were the defending national champs and that whole thing, but it was, you know, the first time this group of people had come together and gone that far. So it was that accomplishment. Now I think we feel like we belong, and it's that next step. What are we focusing on?
Gotcha. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with MSU head volleyball coach Kathy George. Of course, their team now moves on to the Sweet 16. Now, you know what, Kathy? Something interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong. Did the weather, I believe the weather actually
yes.
postponed the Kentucky game on
yes.
Sunday, on Friday, I believe. What did
they
you all do
school.
With it?
They right. come out of school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're going, wait a second, what is this? My kids would love to be in a town that was calling off school with like one inch of snow.
Right.
And
oh, it's only an inch of snow on the ground?
Yeah, it was,
oh,
it was a little. It was an icy mix. I mean, there's no doubt, and that's like a day in the park around here. But
right, right.
But of course, they don't have they don't have the salt trucks like we do, and they're just not used to it. And so they called off all the schools in Kentucky were closed down at 3 p.m, and so they couldn't. How could you host an NCAA event? And it was going to get colder, so all that wet precipitation was going to turn into ice. And so better safe than sorry in the long run, but
right.
it did postpone the one regional, so everybody was waiting for our results on Sunday to figure out, you know, who was playing who and what was going to happen.
Exactly. Now, with a postponement like that, Kathy, I mean, what did you all do with that time off, and how did you keep them focused?
Well, you know, it is. You've got now an evening you didn't plan for. Well, it just so happens that Michigan State was beating Ohio State, so we had something to do.
Right.
You know, so we had Saturday that opened up for us because we moved it forward. So we had a lot of fun with that game, and obviously we were so thrilled for Mark and his team, and just the Rose Bowl, the whole thing. And then on Friday night we just kind of did some game nights, different competitions with the team, and they had a riot with that.
Yes, I definitely saw. If you guys aren't following the Michigan State volleyball team on Twitter, I'm following you guys on Twitter, and actually that Friday night I was just going through my Twitter and scrolled down, and there was a picture tweeted out with you guys just having a game night, playing some cards. Oh, that's great bonding time, right? Did you participate in that, Kathy? Did you play a little cards?
I was on the other side of that, and I was doing some stuff because all the matches, the regional matches, were on TV, so I was kind of honing in on that. But
okay.
The whole group was together, and we had a riot. And of course, the funny things that just happen when you pull a bunch of people together and they're competing in different games. It was a good thing.
Oh, that is great stuff. Now, you know, you talked about Mark D'Antonio, of course, and the
yeah.
Michigan State football team now going to their first Rose Bowl since 1988. I mean, the excitement around here is through the roof right now. Did you guys kind of look at that and look at the football team and what they're doing right now? It's kind of motivation for you all.
Absolutely. You know, I couldn't be happier for Mark and his staff and the team because, he's such a quality guy and he runs his program the right way. And it's just thrilling to see what they've been able to accomplish. And, you know, even going through a little bit of the adversity early in the season and just to see what's been accomplished is awesome. But, you know, you look at a lot of the athletic programs here, the cross country team, what they were doing, the field hockey, the soccer, just everybody has been really stepping up. And so MSU athletics is at an all-time high, and it's exciting to just see and that makes all athletes, like, athletes walk around, they're proud to be Spartans, and they're thinking about winning championships, and it just, it exudes this level of confidence across the board, and you know, players that are supporting each other and coaches that are supporting each other and such. So it's a great feeling. It's a great time to be a Spartan.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Michigan State sports, I mean, being on this national level and having the success that, you know, in various sports, as you just mentioned, Kathy, I mean, that's got to be prideful for you specifically as a coach, right?
Oh, absolutely. You just love it. And, you know, there's players out there. There's the classmates and other sports. They're walking around, and this kid's an All-American, and that kid's an all-this and all that. And it's just great because people are striving to be the best they can be, you know, in their particular area. And you like to have that dedication and commitment that you're surrounded with.
And I tell you what, Kath, this has to make recruiting a little bit easier, right? Am I wrong?
Well, it does. You know, we do recruit so far out, but yes, it does. And then people, you know, talking about Michigan State is always helpful. And then recognizing that, you know, what this program is about from head to toe, you know, that's really important that they know that there's a commitment to the entire athletic program.
Definitely. All right, Kathy. Well, you guys now have Penn State next. I believe you guys split the season series with Penn State. What's the scouting report on Penn State?
Well, you know, they're probably one of the two most physical teams in the nation. So they're rated number two in the country. They've had four national championships. I mean, they're pretty big time, you know, and they have the size to back it up, you know, starting in the middle front, 6'6", 6'4", 6'4", 6'. I mean, they're just huge across the board. And, you know, they're a very difficult team, a very difficult opponent for us. But, you know, we believe that, you know, we're the type of team that can give them some problems depending on how we go about our business. And so, but I think they're, you know, they are outstanding. They're well coached. I think Russ Rose has gotten a million Coach of the Year awards. I don't even know how many. He doesn't even fit him on his good ends anymore. I don't know where he stacks all that stuff, but has had a lot of that success. So, you know, great program, and I know they're eyeing that national championship this year.
With the preparation that you will go through and this team will go through preparing for Penn State, I mean, if there's any chink in the armor that you guys must tighten up on, what would that area be, Kathy?
Well, you know, I think that just we've had unforced errors, you know, at the service line, and we want to make sure that we shore that up and that we're doing a good job of playing responsible volleyball. We don't need to give teams points that they haven't earned. And so we've got to cut down on some of those, and that will definitely help our cause. And I think we've been doing a good job of that in the last, you know, couple of weeks, last 5 weeks maybe of season.
Gotcha. Before you guys hit that floor on Friday, what's going to be the message to your team, Kathy?
Let's go for it.
Simple speech right there.
That's right.
Sweet and simple. Kathy, I tell you what, from all of us here at Current Sports, we want to wish you guys all the luck in the world. Thanks again for joining me, and good luck on Friday, Kathy.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, well, when we return to Current Sports, we're going to be talking Lions. Yes, we barely got to get to them last Current Sports on yesterday's show. We're going to talk to Lions and about their loss to the Eagles this past weekend. And, of course, you know we got to talk about the excitement of the Rose Bowl. That's the talk of the town. And our Top 5 Tuesday is centered on MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio. We're asking you all to call in and, you know, share some memories of Coach D throughout his 7 years here as the head coach of MSU football's program. Now at the peak of his career, as he heads to the Rose Bowl, he finally got that goal that he's been working so hard for, and this team has been working so hard for so long. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we just finished chatting with Kathy George, MSU head volleyball coach. They now enter the Sweet 16 for the second straight season. They will take on Penn State 5 p.m. this Friday. They just knocked off Kentucky on Sunday afternoon. They are one special team. Lauren Wozinski, of course, becoming the all-time MSU kills leader earlier this season. She is the leader of that team and really leading them on quite a ride. But as you just heard, Kathy George is not satisfied with just getting to the Sweet 16. They did it last year, and they definitely want to go further this season. So, Kathy, thanks a lot for joining me. Now we're going to talk about Lions and Eagles. We didn't get to get to the Lions and Eagles yesterday due to the Rose Bowl excitement and recapping the incredible weekend that was MSU football. But there was also some other football action. Of course, the Lions, they fell to the Eagles, 34-20 on Sunday. LeSean McCoy, he set a new Philadelphia Eagles single-game rushing record with the effort. 217 yards rushing, two touchdowns for him. The Eagles, they had 283 total yards on the ground, which was more than the Lions had given up the last six games combined. Only 245 yards on the ground combined in the last six games, and they give up more than that in one game to the Eagles. Unbelievable stuff. Quarterback Matthew Stafford, he was just 9 of 24 passing for 120 yards. Him and center Dominic Raiola, if you remember a moment in that game, they fumbled the exchange five times throughout that game. The loss drops the Lions' record now to 7-6. They are now tied in the NFC North with the Chicago Bears. Chicago, of course, just killing my Cowboys last night. Oh, my gosh. Matt, let's talk about the Lions and their loss to the Eagles. Really dive into that game.
Well, I think first and foremost, you saw a team that's used to playing in a dome go outside and play in 8 inches of snow, and they did not respond well.
Yeah.
It's no shock that Matthew Stafford is from Texas and played college football at Georgia, because he looked miserable.
Right.
He looked like he, A, right, didn't want to be there. B, was just angry that the weather was as bad as it was.
Right.
And then he just kind of... He turned in a lackluster effort, and you know, the drop snaps are one thing, but I mean, on one of them, you know, he drops a shotgun snap and tries to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
What about the game up to that point leads you to believe that you can just pick up a ball off the ground as it's rolling around in the snow when you can't even grip it enough to throw it?
Right, right.
What's he doing there?
Matt
fall on
bad.
The ball.
Yeah, exactly. Fall on the ball. Don't try to pick it up and run. Yeah, exactly.
He was awful.
He was bad. You know, and it goes back to what I was saying. I think Matthew Stafford, again, from a Lions fans perspective, I'm just speaking as far as Lions fans go, because, you know, at the beginning of the season and throughout the beginning, as the season went on to the middle of the season now, you know, a lot of people were giving Matthew Stafford a lot of praise. But for me, you know, just looking at him, I just thought he would force a lot of throws. He just took too many chances. And I think we saw a culmination of that and more on Sunday's game. Matthew Stafford was not great at all. And like you said, I mean, the Lions just, they, overall as a team, they just didn't look, I mean, who would look comfortable in 6 feet of snow? I mean, it was crazy out there. But they just looked on another level, just pitiful, bad, not responding to anything that the Bears threw at them. And they just looked totally out of it, man. And, you know, I'll say it again here on Current Sports on today's show. I think Jim Schwartz is not the right guy to be leading this team. I don't know. What he's shown me so far throughout his tenure here at you know, as Lions head coach, it seems as though he, even when he, you know, you can clearly see that sometimes he makes mistakes, judgment mistakes out there. He doesn't own up to anything. And that's if anything, that's the biggest problem that I have as a head coach, no matter what team you're coaching. If you're coaching Little League, if you're coaching elementary, basketball, football, whatever sport it is, as a coach, you have to admit responsibility when you're wrong sometimes. I don't think Jim has done that. And his leadership is in question for me. And I just don't think he's the right guy to get this Lions team to that next level and to make a serious run in the playoffs or to even get to the playoffs. Now it's even in question if the Lions can even make the playoffs now, because we've seen them just blow games. I mean, there was one point on this show we were talking about the Lions legitimately winning out and finishing this season and really making it one historic one, one to remember. And now with the losses to, you know, teams like Pittsburgh, I mean, with this past loss, I mean, they just looked – they look out of it. They look very questionable now, and you sit there wondering, you know, question marks are popping up left and right, and you sit there wondering now where this Lions team is going to be now.
Yeah, no, I think if they don't win the division, he's out.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
I mean,
I have to agree with you now, yeah.
And I think you hit it right on the head when you say he doesn't seem to be able to recognize any fault in himself, and
right,
he certainly doesn't hold himself accountable for just about anything.
Yeah, because part of a leader, part of being a head coach of a team is knowing when you screw it up.
Right,
owning
up to your mistakes.
Right, exactly.
And recognizing that you need to change things. But it just seems like he is so stubborn and... I don't know if arrogant is the right word, but I'm going
to
use arrogant.
I would say that. Throw it in there.
He thinks he's smarter than every other coach. He thinks he can't make any wrong decisions. You know, everything he does is right. It's just the player's not executing it or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going back to Sunday's game, what are you doing continuing to throw the ball?
Exactly.
What are you doing, you know, continuing to try and pass it downfield when clearly that is not working?
Not at all.
I mean, look at the Eagles. You know, it looked like for a while they were going to get shut out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, it did.
It was what, 8-0 and then 14-0, I believe.
Started to spiral out of control.
And it just looked like the Eagles aren't going to be able to score on this defense. And what did they start to do? They started to run the ball, and LeSean McCoy somehow was keeping his footing better than everybody else on the field.
Don't get me wrong, LeSean McCoy was great.
He's a great player.
He is a great player.
But at the same time, it's like, look what they're doing. They're running the ball, and guys who are usually better tacklers than that are unable to tackle him in the snow. Why aren't you doing the same thing with Joik Bell? And I understand he had trouble holding on to the ball, but at the same time, I would rather take my chances pounding ahead on the ground than trying to, A, complete a shotgun snap, B, have a guy open downfield and not have him slip when he's, you know, breaking or anything, and C, being able to throw an accurate ball in those conditions.
Yeah, it seems like this just comes down to common sense, right?
Yeah, it's just like,
if the weather's bad,
run the dang ball.
That's what it seems like simple math, because you know, looking at the game, like you said, man, it just continued to, and I think maybe the aura of Megatron being on the field, him being such a weapon, you know, possibly getting him involved. But still, I mean, like I said, you got snow up to your ankles here out here. You can't continue to do the same thing. If it's broke, you need to fix it at this point. You know what I mean? And the Lions definitely didn't do that. Now the Eagles, they scored 28 fourth quarter points in Sunday's win, and the Lions, they didn't do much on offense until two penalties really jump started on that, you know, with that second half scoring. Nick Fairley, he was called for a roughing the passer when he lowered his helmet as he hit Nick Foles on a 2nd and 10 incompletion. Two plays later,
that was a terrible call.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad call too. I didn't like really that bad call at all either. Two plays later, if you remember, LeSean McCoy, he broke a 40-yard touchdown run. The Lions stopped the ensuing 2-point conversion, but Sue and Ndamukong Suh, he was called for holding an offensive line on the play, and Bryce Brown converted the second attempt. Just shooting themselves in the foot, it seemed like, in moments. Like you said, I don't agree with the Nick Fairley call, too. I think that was a real chippy win. I mean, it's like, come on, dude.
What's he supposed to do?
Right, what's he supposed to do in that moment? It's one of those, it goes back to the whole concussion, helmet-to-helmet discussion we've always talked about. But then, you know, the hole impending on the Sue. I mean, it's just, that moment right there is just, you're just shooting yourself in the, and we've seen the Lions do that. Penalties have been a problem. If there's anything that Schwartz did admit to a degree, on Sunday, I mean, he went to the presser and said, hey, we had way too many penalties. He didn't agree with the Nick Fairley call. I mean, who did? I mean, we could rewind that tape over and over and over. Even the guys nationally looked at that play and was like, come on, dude, are you serious? But, I mean, the Lions, they always have, I mean, penalties have been a problem, a steady problem this entire season, and we saw that culminate in that second half.
And it's not just this season, it's the entire Schwartz regime.
And when
you have, you know, that big of a sample size, it's not just the players. It's the coaches. It all comes back to the coaches.
Right.
You can't teach these guys to be ultra aggressive and then wonder why we have so many penalties. You know, it's like,
yeah, I agree.
Look at what you're teaching and then look at what's going out on the field and recognize that something's not right there.
Yeah, because when you talk about penalties, that's discipline.
Exactly.
Discipline. That's something that should be taught in practices Monday through Friday up to Saturday. I don't even know if they practice there. They may get a day of rest in there. But that is something that's taught throughout the week in your preparation for your matchup. And you would think by this time, I mean, there's 3 games left, you would think they would have that down by now. But they simply don't. And now, you know, if you're a Lions fan out there, you're you got to be really, really nervous right now, because you got 3 games left. You got Baltimore, who is riding a 4-game win streak right now. A 3-game win streak, excuse me. You got New York coming up. That's a beatable team. New York's bad. Minnesota, they're off and on sometimes. But now, I mean, with the way the Lions have played, it's like you never know what's going to happen game by game now. There was a point of consistency at one point, but now you're sitting there scratching your head like, what in the world is going on? What do you think is going to happen the rest of the season, man? It's tough to predict.
I wish I knew. But the worst part is the Bears are right there.
They are
They're
right
just hanging
there.
Around. The right. longer this goes, the more pressure's on the Lions because they have no excuses.
No,
the Bears
at all.
Lose Jay Cutler, you know, and a host of defensive players. You know, the Packers lose Aaron Rodgers. It's the Lions' division to lose, and they are doing a heck of a job losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
it's
right.
you know, the Giants are really bad, yes, but if they get even a little bit of time for Eli, they're going to throw the ball all over the Lions.
Right.
The That's... Ravens, I wouldn't be surprised if their offense gets jump-started against the Lions. It just seems like if they're not, you know, full bore, just dominating people on the front line, they lose games.
Yeah, I can definitely see that as well. And you know, like I said, now with this team, the way they've played, if they go out there and, you know, try to mail it in, you can't. It seems as though they tried to just mail it in against
just nonchalant.
Know, against, just nonchalant, just going out there, going through the motions, and we saw how that fared against the Eagles. You cannot mail in any games. You got to realize, I mean, I think the Lions kind of got fat and happy to a degree, and which is baffling to me because you're the Detroit Lions with the history you've had. I mean, I can't remember the last time they made the playoffs with the history of this franchise. There is no game at all where you can just feel as though, oh, we're the better team. We're just going to go out there and just go through the motions. That's the last thing that should be on your mind as a Detroit Lions player.
Agreed, and especially with the opportunities that the season presented with the entire division just, you know, tanking. I mean, they should be winning as many games as they can, just piling them up and you know, securing that playoff berth, you know, securing their spot in the top six. Maybe getting a bye, you know, that's obviously long gone. That's not going to happen. But now, you know, if they do make the playoffs, they have to play at New Orleans or at Seattle.
Right.
Neither of those teams, the Lions are good enough to beat.
I do not think
they are good enough to beat either of them.
Heck no.
It's just frustrating to watch because they're so talented. And you know, and we said it yesterday, Sunday would have been worse if it weren't for Jeremy Ross.
Right, exactly.
He was the bright spot.
He was. He was
definitely
the bright spot.
And who knows how often that's going to happen, because I think the snow had something to do with all the big returns and big plays, because,
I mean,
look at the Ravens-Vikings game. It was just
That game was so entertaining.
It was amazing.
It was a score left and right.
The last 2 minutes were entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the rest of the game, the last 2 minutes was very entertaining. But, yeah, the rest of the game was kind of, I would rather turn the channel. But it was. I mean, you saw, and there were a lot of close games this past week.
A lot of wild finishes.
Finishes, man. It was entertaining to watch. But, yeah, I mean, Detroit going and facing the 12th man in Seattle, come on, man. That's just chalk up the L right there. They're not – I mean, in New Orleans, they're on a roll right now. I just don't see them beating those teams, and it's not looking good. I tell you, and it's so crazy because, you know, a few weeks ago, we were singing a different song about this team. Before the Pittsburgh loss, I say we were singing a totally different song about this Lions team, and now – that song is definitely has a different tune. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, you know, we're going to take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, we're going to talk about the excitement of the Rose Bowl, and we have a Top 5 Tuesday. D'Antonio Memories, Coach D, of course, leading his team to the Rose Bowl first time since 1988, and he could be named National Coach of the Year. That would be something, wouldn't it? Already been named Big Ten Coach of the Year. Call in and give us a Coach D memory. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking about the Lions as they are now tied in the NFC North with the Chicago Bears at 7-6. Green Bay is 6-6, and Minnesota last in the NFC North at 3-9. Nail-biting times if you're a Lions fan. I'm going to shift gears now. Let's talk about some happy times now. The MSU football team, of course, they make a trip to the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. Exciting times for this team, exciting times for this area, as many people have been waiting for this moment for MSU to get back to the Rose Bowl. They will be taking on Stanford. Stanford, a very, very good team. We're going to kind of give a game preview, if you will, of that Stanford matchup. Stanford, you know what, Matt, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Stanford is a very, very good team. Stanford, they head to the Rose Bowl. This is their second straight year in the Rose Bowl. If you remember last year, they beat Wisconsin. Stanford, they have been to the BCS for the fourth straight year now. It's going to be an interesting dynamic, Matt, because now you look at this MSU team, a team that has not been to the Rose Bowl or BCS in quite a long time, playing a team who has that experience of being on the stage and producing on this stage. I think that's going to be a pretty big factor on New Year's Day. What do you think, man?
Yeah, you know what? That's the only thing that's kind of, you know, hanging around my mind and my thoughts about the game as a possible negative, because I really think that right. Michigan State matches up well with Stanford. They're basically mirror images of each other.
Yeah, they are. I mean, great defenses.
Great defenses. Stanford, 10th in scoring with 18 and change per game. Third in run yards per game, 14th in total yards per game. And they play in the Pac-12, which is way more wide open.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more yards generated in that conference.
Right.
But the thing that I like when I look at the matchup is when you look at Stanford's losses this season. They lose to Utah and USC.
Yeah.
Now, they're very good against teams that they can dominate in the trenches. And a lot of those spread teams in the Pac-12, they're able to dominate, Oregon included.
Mm-hmm.
When they run into trouble is when they play teams that can match their intensity in the trenches and teams that can push them around a little bit, teams that are more kind of the pro-style offenses.
Right,
less
right.
Spread them out all the way, more line it up and run it right at you.
That's how MSU is.
And that's exactly
what MSU is.
That's their bread and butter.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it might be tough for Jeremy Langford to get going, much like it was against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the back end, they're not quite as strong as Michigan State as far mm-hmm. as defensive backs. I think Connor Cook, if he can settle down, because like you said, no experience playing in a BCS game.
That's the
game.
Key. That's the key right
First
there.
First Rose Bowl in 26 years. It's going to be tough for them to keep their emotions in check. But if they do, if they can execute, I think Stanford is very beatable.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Connor Cook. I mean, we've seen him. I mean, up to this point right now, I mean, Connor Cook, it doesn't matter what game he plays in, facing adversity, being down in a game, he handles pressure, which is I think is his best attribute to his game. He handles pressure like it's nothing. I mean, he just goes out there. He plays for the next play. The next play is the most important play to him. He doesn't harp on if he throws an interception. He doesn't harp on if he turns the ball, which he doesn't turn. Another thing is he takes great care of the ball. I mean, we saw one interception at a Big Ten championship game. It happens. You know what I mean? It happens. Moments like that happen. But Connor Cook, he does a great job at taking care of the ball. His confidence is through the roof. He's so poised. And it's going to be very interesting to see how he goes out there and plays in the Rose Bowl. I believe he had a 300-yard effort this coming off the Big Ten championship. Unbelievable game for him. And, you know, the kid, he just seems to play like a veteran when he's out there. I think it's going to be a very, very good key. He's going against Kevin Hogan. Kevin Hogan is also, I think, he's the type of quarterback like that. I think, you know, when you look at Kevin Hogan, he's a guy that's very, very calm as well. He handles himself great in the pocket. He has great poise. You know, it's... In a way, they're very, very similar teams. They're scary similar teams. This is going to be a very, very good game, I think. Not high scoring. It's going to be a battle.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle. It's absolutely going to be a battle. And Stanford does have some playmakers on offense, too. I mean, Tyler Gaffney, who's their running back.
Right.
He's obviously been...
I don't think he's going to run crazy,
he's
though,
been on
MSU
fire.
Defense.
Exactly.
That's
I don't
thing.
Either. And people can point to Carlos Hyde in Ohio State gashing Michigan State for big yardage in the ground game. But, I mean, they average over 300 yards... on the ground per game.
Right.
And when
right.
you have a factor like Braxton Miller that you have to take into account, I mean, Kevin Hogan's not going to beat you with his legs.
No,
certainly
not
to the extent that Braxton Miller
right.
is.
Right. MSU had to deal with two running backs, essentially, in
exactly.
that Ohio State game, which is tough.
And two elite running backs.
Oh, yeah,
because
without a doubt.
Those two guys are as explosive as any combo in the country. But when you have a I-formation pro-style attack, that's the type of team that Michigan State thrives on stopping. And,
yeah.
you know, they
yeah.
have Ty Montgomery, who's their big receiver, playmaker. They give him handoffs. They try and get him the ball in different ways.
Right.
I think you put a Darqueze Dennard or a Trey Waynes on him, and you kind of lock that down a little bit.
That's the thing. I mean, I tell you, all season, Darqueze Dennard, Trey Waynes, I mean, they have shut down anyone they come in contact with. You can bring up the Notre Dame game, but we all know. I mean, there were so many. I think Trey Waynes had about, three or four pass interference calls on him.
For perfect coverage.
Exactly, perfect coverage. Yeah. I mean, didn't let up one bit. I mean, a lot of questionable calls in that game. I think it's so crazy. I mean, the MSU could have went undefeated this season.
I know.
And you look at that Notre Dame game, if you take away – if the refs would have called those calls differently, I mean, we could be looking at a totally different result, an unblemished season here. I mean, I just always thinking about that, you know, that Notre Dame game. But they've been great all year, and I expect them to be great again in this Rose Bowl game. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a battle. Defense. Low scoring, grind out type of game. You're not going to see any big runs. I think Jeremy Langford finally, you know, I don't think he's going to run over
Stanford. You don't think he's going to score a 30-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter to seal it? Because I do. I've seen that story play out enough times going to bet against it.
I wouldn't be surprised, but that Stanford defense is just...
It's great. It's great.
It's going to be the best defense MSU has played all year.
Easily.
You know what I mean? So, and how, you know, Connor Cook in this MSU offense responds to that is going to be the key in this game, I think. And, hey, you never know, though. You never know. I mean, this entire season has been one heck of a ride for Michigan State, and it's going to be very interesting. I can't wait for it. So, all right, well, you know, today's top five... Today is Tuesday, and on today's top five Tuesday, we're paying homage to Coach D, Mark D'Antonio, of course, Big Ten Coach of the Year, and now has a chance to win. He's a finalist for the Eddie Robinson Award for National Coach of the Year. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, two of those candidates will be on the Rose Bowl sidelines. Of course, Stanford's David Shaw, they are among the eight finalists announced today for that award. But Coach D has done such a great job with this team. He's in his seventh year now, seventh season with the MSU football team. And, you know, we wanted to pay homage to him, highlighting our top five Tuesday based on D'Antonio memories. Matt, what's your list looks like?
All right. Now, I only have one. Well, I guess I have two, but one is just one game in specifics, and that is way back in his first year when he's picking up the pieces from the John L. Smith disaster. Penn State, 2007, last game of the season. Penn State jumps out 24-7. MSU's fighting for a bowl bid at this point, and, you know, they keep fighting behind J.U. Colkrick, Javon Ringer. Fourth quarter. Ball's at the MSU 25. It's mm-hmm. fourth and five. Mm-hmm. And Mark D'Antonio, shades, maybe a little a prelude to Little Giants and all the trick plays. He calls a fake punt at his own 25. Mm-hmm. They get 17 yards out of it, go down, end up scoring. They win the game 35-31. I was at that game. I was a senior in high school. And mm-hmm. you could just feel a change in the program.
Right.
You could just...
And you were a senior in high school.
I was a senior in high school.
So you've been a Spartan fan.
I've been a Spartan fan since I emerged from the womb. I mean, I might as well have had on.
Did your parents?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's right. Okay, there we go.
And so, you know, I've you know, loved this university and loved the football team forever, but that was the game where you could see that this team and the program was going to be tougher, and the coach wasn't going to let them fold, and that things were changing.
That is a great moment right there. That's a great
moment
right
there. I will never forget it.
You know what? I think we have a caller. Eric wants to share a memory. How you doing, Eric? Welcome to Current Sports.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm a longtime supporter. Glad to finally be able to call in. I would say my favorite D'Antonio memory, it's going to be kind of weird. It's not Little Giants. It's not the Hail Mary against Wisconsin. It's actually the post game from his first game against Michigan when they came from behind and beat us in East Lansing. I'll never forget the post game, the look he had on his face. He was like, pride comes before the fall. This isn't over. It's just getting started, which would kind of go on and be pretty significant because they went and beat Michigan 4 years straight after that. And I remember that look on his face, and I thought, I was like, okay, this is the guy for the program. I think we'll be okay. So
right.
That's probably my favorite moment for sure.
Hey, thanks a lot, Eric. That is a great moment. And, you know, that presser, it just speaks to D'Antonio's personality and his mindset, the blue-collar type of mindset that says, okay, you know what I mean? This is a humbling experience for us. And, you know, we're going to start changing things around. That's who D'Antonio is. That's the essence of Mark D'Antonio that makes him so special.
That's who he is, and that's who the program it's what the program has become.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all about hard work. It's all about building off of mistakes and reconciling them. And, of course, Eric calls in and scoops my number four. That is literally...
Eric is on it. We need to get Eric on the show.
He did a much better job of explaining it than I would have done. So, great job, Eric. That's my number four. Right. Number three, I got to go Little Giants. Just because it was so unexpected. It was just such a big moment. And it was, you know, that first big national highlight of his regime here. And, you know, We haven't had a ton of success against Notre Dame since then, but I think that's going to turn next year.
Right.
That was such a, just a great moment.
It was a great moment.
Number two for me was actually at the football banquet last season, the You Will Be the Ones, which has resurfaced, obviously, since they won the Big Ten championship game. I mean, Connor Cook's post-game interview, all about You Will Be the Ones. But
you know, you brought up a hilarious moment. I didn't see the moment where he lifted up his little trophy.
Oh, it's amazing.
But you were laughing because the trophy was so small.
It's so small.
And he ignores the question that was asked about him. He's like,
Charles Davis asked him about his maturation as a quarterback, and Connor Cook has no desire to answer that question. Instead, he wants to say that we're the ones. He holds up this very small trophy.
It's a funny moment.
It's a great moment. Wouldn't change it for the world. But as far as when it originated, just to show the faith that he had in this group of guys and this team after all the adversity last year, you know, lose five games by 13 points.
Right.
He still had faith. He kept that faith. He kept a steady attitude. And the team responded, and it's responded with maybe the best season in school history. Number one, Saturday, our trip to the
Rose Bowl.
Without
a doubt, that's
earning
the
trip to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
It's got to be number one.
Definitely, without a doubt. I mean, we've been waiting for this for, 1988. I keep saying it. I mean, 1988, and now it's finally here. Unbelievable stuff. For me, mine is more kind of broader. Just memory, personal memories of D'Antonio, his sense of humor. I mean, a lot of people, if you talk about Coach D, oh, he's so serious. If you look at him on the sidelines, he just has this kind of just stale look of just, oh, we got to win, you know, just not joking around. But D'Antonio, a lot of people don't realize, it's not going to press conferences all the time. He has a very cool sense of humor. He knows when to joke and he knows when to keep it serious. That's what I love about him. So, D, I love his personality. Again, we alluded to that. Little Giants, that moment right there. I was on the field actually as a Big Ten student U intern, working for ESPN, just holding courts, you know, doing intern work. And, you know, when an ESPN, when you have the ESPN gear on, you got to be non-biased.
I was going to say, did you keep it?
I didn't. As soon as that moment happened, I dropped the cord. I run on the field for like 2 seconds. I'm like, I'll never get to do this again because this is a historic moment. I go out there. Kirk Cousins walks by me. I give him a high five. Oh, I never forget that moment. So I kind of lost credibility as an ESPN reporter. But at the same time, I'm a student. You know what I mean?
And you didn't get fired or
No.
Because they understand because it was that special.
ESPN let me go nuts. So that was great stuff. I'll never forget, you know, the press conference in 2011 when D'Antonio's father died. That was a very emotional. Because you remember after the Little Giants game, D'Antonio actually had a heart attack. And, you know, it was kind of a very serious moment because if you remember, that's what D'Antonio's father died of, a heart attack. And he, you know, after he, you know, that moment, he kind of alluded to that and, you know, and talked about, you know, how, you know, he's got to take better care of himself, you know what I mean, and get checked up more. But yeah, his father died. I mean, that was a really emotional moment, presser in 2011 when his father did pass away. And, and you could see him tearing up. You saw. Oh man, Aaron's trying to get us off the air earlier today. All right, Al, hurry up, Al.
Wow.
Oh man,
he jumped about 3 feet.
I had
over
a very
the
passionate
room,
moment
too.
Here.
Seriously,
Aaron is trying to wrap this show
know
up.
Know the room, Aaron.
Oh
jeez.
My goodness. So that was a very emotional moment. Aaron just took away the emotion that I was trying to gather with that interruption there. All right. Well, and you know what? The next question here. Just play a little. Next question, Aaron. Can you?
You said players make plays. Can you talk about Sims and Le'Veon and how big they were today?
They were big. Next question.
Is it a tough decision?
I'm just loving all these questions because they're great ones. Go ahead.
Tough decision to put Bell at punt returner considering how much you're...
Not when you dropped the punt the time before. Next question. Thanks, guys. Go green.
I love that. I was at that press.
Were you there?
Oh, I was there in the press. I was working for Channel 6. And filming it. And we're all looking at each other like, oh my gosh, we've never seen D'Antonio like this. Just staring at each other like, oh my goodness.
Now, I kind of seem to remember him taking some slack for that.
Yeah.
From some media members.
From a few media members, yeah.
How could you be mad at that? That is
right.
Your story.
Right, exactly. Like, exactly. I couldn't be mad. I mean, they just lost, you know, in a game they should have won. I mean, you're frustrated. Sometimes you just got to let it out, man. He's frustrated.
Next
question, baby. Exactly. I loved it. And, of course, number one is the Rose Bowl appearance. I mean, come on. We'll never forget this as long as we live. So, there you have it. All right. Well, now we're getting off the air, Aaron. Aaron's happy now. He's smiling. I guess he's got a hot date after the show. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to the today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wolf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing, WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and sign up to be of our live studio audience to sit down with Otis Wiley tomorrow night. WKAR.org. Be easy, people.